By way of introduction, I am, like you, acutely aware of a civil and national crisis that saddens and concerns us a lot. And like you, I have wondered what this evening might be about. It's our first official meeting together as we all get used to a new normal in a time of transition. Will appropriate words be found? Will the right tone be set? While we cannot ignore the state of our nation this evening when it comes to a time of prayer, I must, however, share with you the point that when I was thinking about this moment, our headlines were not what they are right now. They're reflecting on what I knew of the flock. I had the people of Welland Evangelical Church in my heart rather than anything else. And while I am conflicted, so do I stay with what was on my heart or address directly the recent rioting, I hope you will be content with me sticking with you. Expanded, I would like to use our midweek meetings in August to address some of the things that impact our minds and hearts as we try to maintain our faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought that this evening we might spend time thinking about coping with anxiety. But before we do, let's read from the Word of God. Please open your Bibles and find the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, and starting at verse 1 and reading to the end. Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Or let us hear the word of God. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have laboured side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, that the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, well, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. And not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Oh, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Oh, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To God, our Father, be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And for the purposes of this evening, I'd like us to focus on verse 6. Let me read verse 6 again. Paul commands, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And as we consider Paul's command, but what do we do when we feel anxious? Exploring the old Greek word for anxious, what do we do when we feel worried? When we feel nervous, when we feel uneasy, fearful, perturbed, agitated, twitchy, shaky. What do we do in moments like this? In fact, how do we manage anxiety about any type of problem that we might face? By way of background to our text, it's suggested that Paul was under arrest in Rome around AD 62 when he wrote this letter to Christians in Philippi, a Greek city near the Aegean Sea. And broadly speaking, as Paul writes, he is corresponding with a church that is probably no more than 10 years old. Paul wants Christians in Philippi to remember that knowing Christ by faith supersedes anyone or anything the first century has to offer. But this doesn't mean to say that Paul or the church was finding or would find the Christian life to be plain sailing. In fact, in less than 15 minutes, Paul's letter reveals that, like the church in Philippi, he too was having to manage some significant personal issues. With no need to turn to these references, in chapter 1, Paul mentions that he is a prisoner because he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. Elsewhere in chapter 2, Paul remembers how his good friend and co-worker for Christ, a man called Epaphroditus, Paul remembers how Epaphroditus nearly died from an illness during his service for the Lord. And then in chapter 3, Paul speaks of preaching with tears as he warns believers about those who are enemies of the Christian faith. In chapter 4, Paul longs for unity and agreement in the church, not just for one weekend, but every day. While elsewhere in the same chapter, not only does Paul make it clear that he's had to learn how to be content with life in any and every situation he faces, whether all his needs are met or those times when none of his earthly needs are met, Paul also thanks the church for helping him during those moments when he was, metaphorically, like a grape in a wine press, an indication of just how tough Paul's life could be. And as we share the details of his letter, this is an amazing insight. When we consider how Jesus dealt with Paul, when we consider what God the Holy Spirit was helping Paul to accomplish for Jesus, we take all of those things together. It is amazing to think that there were moments in the Apostle Paul's life when he knew anxiety, when he knew trouble, when he was laid low, really low. And so we ask again, how do we manage our anxieties, those moments when we feel like a grape being squashed? Now, just before we consider Paul's teaching at verse 6, if we flick back in our Bibles to verse 4, at verse 4, can you see it there? Paul tells Christians twice to rejoice in the Lord. Verse 4 again, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And after that, Paul then tells believers at verse 5 to show reasonableness to all. Verse 5 with me, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And when we explore verse 5 a little bit, when we get behind the language that Paul is using here, this command to let our reasonableness be seen by everyone, the ancient Greek Paul uses here speaks to us about a Christian who is, because of Christ's saving grace, becoming a patient Christian, becoming a gentle Christian. Tighten some more, the reasonable or gentle believer is, by the grace of Christ, learning to hand over to Christ everything that makes the heartbeat increase, everything that shortens breath, everything that is keeping the believer up at night, everything that is keeping the believer in bed all day, everything that is making the believer irritable, everything that is making the believer sweaty and nervous, everything that is making the believer say and do ungodly things, everything that is causing motivation for the Lord to fade. The reasonably minded Christian is learning to hand over to the Lord all these issues and many more besides. And the reason why the believer can adopt this frame of mind is because of what Paul says at the end of verse 5. I'm sure we spotted it. Paul says, "The Lord is at hand." In other words, when a believer lives in accordance with God's grace in Christ, when a believer wholeheartedly remembers that death has no sting, that the grave has no victory, that Christ spares his people from eternal wrath, it is this sure and certain hope in Christ that helps the believer hand to the Lord all the burdens and the pressures and the cares that this life brings. And as those burdens are handed over to the Lord, so the believer may show Christ's gentleness and patience to those around them, wherever they might be, whatever the situation they are in. Knowing that the Lord is at hand, trusting by faith that one day soon the Lord will sort out every single issue in this broken, rotten and corrupt world. Knowing that the Lord will deal with every single injustice we have ever experienced for faithfully following him. Knowing that the Lord has every aspect of our lives covered. It's these foundational truths which then prompt the apostle to give all believers the command that is to be our focus for this evening. Verse 6. Start at verse 6 again. And considering everything that Christ has accomplished for his precious people, Paul commands Christians everywhere of every generation, do not be anxious about anything. In light of all that Christ has secured for his people, no thing or situation, no man, no woman, nothing in this life should be derailing Christ's people. Isn't that an amazing statement to listen to? Because as we look around at our families, as we consider the communities that we are placed in, when we look at the workplace, as we think about Hertfordshire more generally, as we consider the UK, as we look at the world through our news feeds and our devices, it's true, isn't it? Anxiety, tension is everywhere. Thinking about ourselves momentarily, have we got enough members? Or have we got enough church leaders? How does our church compare with others close by in the village or in the county? The cost of living crisis, health issues, our neighbours, Russia, China, North Korea and Iran, and what is happening in the USA? Or should we be concerned about the environment? There's family division. Oh, what about those colleagues at work and that malicious complaint that's come in? Our employer's latest calls to ungodliness? Test results of any type? What am I going to do in the future? What will my career look like? Singleness or our marriage? Mental health issues of any type? Our spouses, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren? A journey of some sort to a place that we don't really know? Our education setting? I could go on, but I reckon we've made our point. There are many things going on, many issues going on in our lives that produce anxiety in all of us. And yet the Apostle Paul says to the church of every generation. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, we are, as the text goes on, we are to replace that anxious energy with time spent in prayer and supplication. We are to engage in reverential conversation with the Lord about anything and everything. We are, thinking about the word supplication, we are to beseech the Lord. We are to cry out to the Lord about the circumstances of our lives. And while this will not be easy, because to take every part of our lives to the Lord means we will have some deep things to confess to him, nevertheless, this is one way in which we are individually and corporately sanctified. But not just those things we need God's help with. Did we notice this? As our text goes on, our prayers are to contain upward messages of thankfulness as well. Something we are on occasions apt to forget. As we learn bit by bit that we have a sound antidote to anxiety, as we learn to accept that when we are in Christ, we must in reverence and in humbleness speak to God the Saviour about every aspect of our lives, the good and the bad, the public and the private. So now we learn that we are to pray also with gratitude to God. Let me repeat the text again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, underlined and highlighted, let your requests be made known to God. And as we further reflect on Paul's teaching, there's no mystery here. There's nothing complicated or unusual in what the apostle teaches, but so often, we do forget, don't we? We have a long list of concerns and anxieties and issues, but we forget to thank Jesus for everything that Jesus has done for us, that Jesus is doing for us by the grace of his Holy Spirit, not only in this life, but everything that he guarantees to give to us in the life to come, when we receive wonderfully that crown of eternal life. Finally, as our text ends, Paul states the obvious. Paul tells us that all this activity that we've been describing and sharing with each other, all this activity is to orbit around God. I'm sure we noticed that. Paul bypasses any knowledge or wisdom that might have been around in his day. Paul is arrow straight. Paul says, brother, sister, when it comes to anything in this life, let your requests be made known to God. Now, does this mean that seeking help from friends is frowned on by the apostle? Does this put a question mark over professional help and guidance? For what it's worth, I think not. God gives us friends for all seasons. Likewise, God gives us professionally qualified people to help us live and survive in a fallen world. However, I do think we need to listen to Paul at this point, because while he too had friends, he loved having friends around him to help him and to support him. While there were other professionals around in his day, we can very often forget to take our requests, our concerns, to God in prayer. As men and women of faith, we must try and remember that God the Saviour is ready to hear from us about anything and everything at any time of day or night, wherever we are found in this universe, never mind in this world. As the psalmist says to all believers, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And so with promises like this, whether we are up on the International Space Station or found somewhere down here below on Earth, wherever we are, Why would we not want to take to God every part of our lives to him in prayer with thanksgiving? As we close and get ready to pray, if open, if honest and reverential prayers for self and for others is something that we struggle with, then look to Jesus at this point. Hear what the writer to the Hebrews says concerning our Saviour. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, we learn that in the days of his flesh, in the times when Jesus was alive on the face of this earth, Jesus did what? Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and with tears to him who was able to save him from death. And then catch this. And Jesus was heard, he was listened to, because of his reverence. Pausing momentarily here and considering Jesus' openness and humbleness before his Father in heaven, whether we have a short time for prayer or a long time for prayer, we need to be so careful about our heart and mind before God. When we get ready to pray, do we approach the one who saves us from hell in a casual, offhand manner? Or do we slow down a bit, humble ourselves, and go low before the Lord? It truly is a state of mind and heart. And yet, some people in this world, they think it's anything but. For some, it's like God is their best buddy. What do we mean? Well, it's been said by some that, yeah, we were doing such and such, and then Jesus came right up to us and said this and that to me, and, you know, I was just shaving my beard at the time, or I was about to buy an aeroplane or something. And when they're talking like this, they seem so chipper, so cool, so relaxed, so visibly enhanced by it all. And yet, when we come back to the Word of God and test that kind of thing, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10 gets us underway. When the living creatures honour God the Saviour, when John is given that glimpse into the throne room of God, when those living creatures show honour and reverence to God the Saviour, what do the 24 elders do? The word tells us that the 24 elders take off their crowns and they get on the ground and they worship the Saviour. By removing those crowns from their heads, by going low onto the floor, they are showing due reverence, due respect, due worship to the one who saves his people from hell. Brothers and sisters, as we enter the month of August, just as Jesus cried out to his heavenly Father with reverential honesty and tears about every aspect of his life on earth, well, we're to do the same, aren't we? We're to follow that model. We are to follow that pattern that our blessed Saviour has set before us. We are to cast all our anxious cares on him. Why? The word tells us, he cares for us. Amen.